Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented and colourful personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And on my right, we welcome back with great pleasure that fine exponent of this game, that lovely comedian, Paul Merton, and sitting beside him is somebody who's played the game more often than anybody else and always gives great value, that is Clement Freud, and seated on my left, we have a lovely comedian and fine broadcaster and writer, Marcus Brigstock. And beside him, we have that lovely comedienne and also writer, Jenny Eclair. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score, blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Playhouse Theatre in that ancient city of Salisbury, and we have a fine Wiltshire audience come from all corners... corners of the country to cheer us on our way as we start the show with Paul Merton. Who better? Paul the Druids. Why not? Seeing where we are. Tell us something about the Druids, Paul, in Just a Minute, starting now.
Ah, the Druids. We're close to Stonehenge, and this may be why this subject has come up. As we think of summer solstice day, the little sun pops its head over the horizon, and the Druids, who are an early form of hoodies, gather around, and they watch the golden globe as it transverses across the sky. To be a Druid is a very important thing. It's very difficult to become.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Two fairies.
Yeah. Yes, you had very, yes, very important, and very sinful. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject of the Druids. There are 39 seconds available, starting now.
Anglesey was a very good place for Druids.
Clement, you've challenged yourself.
Why didn't anyone challenge me?
For the simple reason, Clement, that you got in first.
No, I
and you've challenged yourself. So what I'll have to do to say, Clement, what is your challenge?
I'd like Paul to go on because they... I was really interested.
So what we'll do is give Clement a point for his generosity, and we hand the subject back to Paul and tell him that there are 36 seconds left.
Clement's never liked me. He's never liked me.
I think this is a new form of playing the game.
Yes.
So you get an odd point and then you let everybody else do the work.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, exactly.
36 seconds, Paul, on the Druids, starting now.
My father became a Druid in 1958. There was something about the uniform that he found immensely attractive. He was a supporter of Fulham football.
Jenny, a challenge.
His dad wasn't a Druid. He used to work on London Underground. You're not allowed open-toed sandals. It's health and safety, Paul.
Jenny, I'm sure that you can still work on the underground and be a druid.
Yeah,
part-time druid?
No, you can be a full-time druid, but you don't have to express your religious beliefs on the underground. You just do it in down at Stonehenge.
He always said that the Piccadilly line was a divine mystery. He always said that.
Jenny, what we'll do is I'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption, but Paul was interrupted, so he keeps the subject with another point, of course, and he has 28 seconds now on the Druids, starting now.
Extraordinary to have 28 seconds left on the Druids. I have to be very succinct about what I say now because the panoply...
Marcus challenged.
Is a repetition of very
Yes,
again.
He said very before. Yeah. Well, listen, Marcus... So, Marcus, you're in on the first round.
Well, no, hang on, because I don't really want the subject either. I'm sort of quite enjoying it coming back to Paul every single time and watching him slowly run out of angles on it.
Exactly. Well,
no, I'll take it.
I think you should. I think we should.
Fine.
We'd like to hear from you. 22 seconds. You've got a point anyway for your challenge. Mm. And you have the Druids starting now.
There are still plenty of Druids around today. You'll find them at the Glastonbury Festival, where they gather to fill their tents with liquid mud and water...
Jenny challenged.
Slight hesitation.
Yes, enough for me to give it to you, Jenny.
Could I had a flashback to the last time I was at Glastonbury.
Jenny, you had a correct challenge. You take over the subject. The Druids, 12 seconds available, starting now.
Apparently, it takes 20 years to learn how to become a Druid. There are so many other hobbies you can have that you can get into.
Poor challenge.
I don't know if Druids would see their belief as a hobby.
Depends other how hobbies. Part-time you are. Depends whether you've got a full-time job on the London Underground.
Paul, I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, the Druids, I mean, the sincere Druids would not see it as a hobby.
No.
But there some, might be some, as Jenny said, who see it as a hobby. It's their part-time hobby.
Oh, really?
It. Yes.
The ones who just drew it at the weekend.
Yeah. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Jenny on this occasion, and I will try and redress the balance later if I can, and tell her, Jenny, you still have 4 seconds, the Druids, starting now.
Modern Druids are called Neo-Druids, and Marcus is absolutely right. They do tend to gather...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Jenny Eclair. Jenny, at the end of that round, you're in the lead, 2-2 to Paul and Clement, and 1 to Marcus and Clement. You take the next round. The subject is a poor relation. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In a metropolitan public house, there was this Englishman, chap from Scotland, someone from Wales, and an Irish Republican supporter. And the reason I am doing this so badly is to explain what a poor relation of a totally hopeless joke sounds like.
Paul has challenged.
You've succeeded. Hesitation.
Hesitation. Paul, correct challenge. You have 36 seconds, and you have a poor relation starting now.
Barbara Windsor doesn't see a penny that the Queen gets, and I think that's terrible. She's her own sister.
Marcus, also, you challenge first.
Well, yeah, hesitation.
Yeah, hesitation.
I just wanted to make that point.
Yes.
I didn't want to colour it with humorous remarks.
You got your laugh and you decided to retire on it.
I did, yeah.
Absolutely.
I won't live long on that one, will I?
Marcus, a poor relation is a subject. 30 seconds are available and you start now.
I like cheese. I always have. I'm a big fan of the stuff and I've felt for a long time now that Edam is a poor relation to all of the other delicious dairy spheres that one is able to buy, the ghastly, waxy, beastly thing that it is coming from Holland, I think it does, although it...
Jenny, you challenged.
Oh, well, he just started stuttering and losing it.
So we call that hesitation. Yes, indeed, it does come from Holland, but that dried you up. Right.
Are we talking about cheese or poor relations?
You do what you like, darling. The subject is a poor relation, and you have 10 seconds, starting now.
I felt like such a poor relation last time I did just a minute. Paul and Julian Clary were talking about their country estates. I had to go to the bathroom and have a quiet sulk on the lavatory because I don't have a second home.
So in this game, if you can get in towards the end, it pays dividends, because then you're speaking as the whistle went, which Jenny was doing again, and she's increased her lead at the end of the round. And we come to Jenny to begin. Oh, Jenny, I don't know if it's anything close to your heart, but it's just my dentist. Tell us something about my dentist in this game, starting now.
My dentist is a very nice fellow, goes by the name of Philip, up on Denmark Hill in southeast London. I'm meant to go and see him every 3 months, but guess what? Sometimes I cancel. Last engagement, I phoned up, said, listen, I've got appalling flu. He thought I was lying. I'd like to say now on national radio, Philip, if you're listening... I know exactly what I did. I know exactly what I did. I don't want to be told.
You don't want to be told. You have to be told, because I have to hear from Paul. What
repetition of Philip.
Of yes. Philip.
Yes, but he's a very good dentist.
Is he? Right. Well, I think it's too far for me to go to Denmark Hill.
You can send them by post.
You are a wicked so-and-so. You really are.
You'll be doing it Monday.
Right. But to show you how fair I am, as it was such a wonderful reaction you got to your joke, I will give you a bonus point for it. I come here to suffer the swings and arrows of that outrageous fortune that brings me into this hot seat. Paul, a correct challenge. Philip was too much for us all. 41 seconds. My dentist starting now.
My dentist is Simon Godley, who's also an actor, but I haven't seen him for a while, so I've got to give him a ring. So if you're listening to this, can you contact me? Because I can't keep phoning you. I said keep.
Marcus.
He ended up saying keep four times.
Yeah. Only three of them were wrong.
Yes, that's right.
33 seconds are available, Marcus. My dentist starting now.
My dentist seems like a reasonable chap, but he's very inclined to encourage me to spend a little bit of time with the hygienist, who is a fearsome bully and a thug. She's a massive woman with huge upper body strength who spends the entire period of the session driving...
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a little hesitation there, yes. I suppose if you judge the pace at which he goes, there was... And it's ironic that Clement should be the one who... But we give him the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. So, Clement, 18 seconds, my dentist starting now.
My dentist lives at 22 Wimpole Street, London.
Marcus challenged.
No, Sorry, it was the wrong challenge. When you said the number 22, I visualised the two numbers and thought... It was a repetition. Of course, it isn't, because 20 and 2 are quite different words.
That's right, yes.
And also, 22 Wimpole Street is where my gynaecologist is.
It's the same guy. All he does is adjust the chair.
Right.
Same guy.
Right, so...
Don't send it by post, though. Right.
They've all got such good laughs, I won't give them all bonus points, but just... in fact, give them all a bonus point. Why not? 12 seconds, Clement. My dentist starting now.
And he said if I gave his name and address, he would give me an enormous reduction in the price, especially as Jenny Eclair paid less.
Paul challenge.
Tragically, a hesitation there.
Yes, it was a hesitation. And you've cleverly got in with 3 seconds to go on. My dentist, Paul, started...
When you go to China, you have to get a dental appointment at 2:30, because that's 2:30, and that's what they needed.
So, what's the situation? Paul speaks as the whistle went again, got an extra point. He's increased his lead. He's got twice as many points as Jenny, who's in second place, and then Clement Freud and Marcus Brigstock in that order. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, a nice intellectual subject. Leonardo da Vinci. Will you tell us something about that character in this game, starting now?
Leonardo da Vinci was a world-known inventor, not only a painter. He invented the helicopter, the hovercraft...
Marcus challenge.
He didn't really invent the helicopter. He's sort of credited with it, but I think it's deviation, because he didn't actually. It was invented by a Mr. John Helicopter.
Oh, OK.
No, it's very difficult to judge on this, because he did do some... He was way ahead of his time in mechanics and statistics and science, and he did invent something which would have been a helicopter. So can you say he invented the helicopter? Yes, probably you did. Benefit of the doubt? I think it goes to Paul. Paul, benefit of the doubt, 54 seconds, still on Leonardo da Vinci, starting now.
And just a minute. That was a magnificent invention of his, because as a radio show, it was 400 years ahead of its time. Nobody owned any kind of machine that could pick up this broadcast from the airwaves, so leave people who look at Leonardo da Vinci and say, you stick with a painting. You can't.
Clement challenged. Why have you challenged, Clement?
Did I challenge?
Yes, you did.
Well, that does surprise.
That little buzzer in front of you, you pressed it, Clement, and that means you've challenged. Had you nodded off and then suddenly woke up...
I don't blame you.
Do you know, that is exactly what had happened. Right.
You thought you were calling for the nurse. So an incorrect challenge. Paul, we're still with you. 40 seconds on Leonardo da Vinci, starting now.
If you look at his artwork, you can see infinite number of brushstrokes, and that shows you the amount of time and patience he displayed every one of these portraits. Why is the woman smiling in that famous picture of his? Perhaps we don't know. Perhaps she'd heard a rumour.
Clement challenge.
Perhaps.
But two perhapses. Yes. Mm. And Clement, there are 25 seconds. You tell us something about Leonardo da Vinci starting now.
In that 15th and 16th century period, people were known by where they came from, rather like disgusted at Tunbridge Wells. So would Leonardo da Vinci Vinci being a province of Florence, not particularly well known, hardly sporting a football club in any league whatsoever. And as Paul said, I think very sensibly.
Shelley!
I'm so sorry.
Well, why are you sorry? He's heard about four times.
Well, yes. I was quite genuinely interested in what he was saying, but it was getting...
I know, but it didn't sound as if Clement was very interested in what he was saying. He did some hesitation. Jenny, you've got him with 1 second to go on Leonardo...
Leonardo da Vinci! Leonardo da Vinci! Leonardo da Vinci!
So Jenny speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's moved forward, catching up on Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is the king's ear. Will you tell us something about the king's ear starting now?
The king's ear has always been considered very important. Otherwise, the crown would have slipped and got right down to... Look at Prince Charles, and I don't think I have to tell you anymore. There is an ideal example of someone whose king's ear is going to serve him extremely well if, when he becomes the next king. Zia. It's also the name of...
Paul, you've challenged.
Well, there was a sort of hesitation in there.
Sort of?
Yeah, sort of.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. No. 35 seconds available, Paul. The king's ear starting now.
It's a rather run-down version of the king's head, a much better pub, but the king's ear at least has a dartboard and a lady behind the bar that knows where the ham sandwiches come from. If you say in the olden days people used to think to themselves, how will we know when the monarch is here and there'd be somebody positioned at the top of the castle to shout, the king's ear! And everybody would know this and they would run down to the banquet hall and start eating Twiglets.
Jenny challenge.
He said no twice. How we know when the king's here?
Yes, you did. I said, how will we know? And when the king's here, and how will you know? And we do know that you repeated it. So 16 seconds, Jenny, on the king's ear, starting now.
The king's ear has belonged to monarchs, including John, Henry, James, Paul, John. Oh, I don't know my kings.
There was two Johns.
There were two Johns. Yes. Yeah. It was a clever idea, but didn't quite come off, Jenny.
One was spelled J-O-N, and the other one was spelled J-O-H-N.
Yes.
One was Scandinavian.
I don't think there's even been a Scandinavian king called J-O-N, John.
It's pronounced Juan.
Juan is Spanish, J-U-A-N.
I'm really confused.
Right. Paul, we're back with you. 9 seconds. The king's ear, starting now.
If you were a confidant of the imperious figure that sits on the throne, you could say to yourself, ah, politically I am safe and sound because I have the king's ear.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead again ahead of Jenny Eclair, then Clement Freud and then Marcus Brigstock. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Treading the Boards. We're in a delightful theatre here, a wonderful proscenium arch, and treading the boards. It's a wonderful feeling. Takes me back to my youth when I was an actor in repertory. Talk about it, if you can, Marcus, starting now.
Well, I don't know that I can, really, because I wasn't there in your youth on account of the fact that I'm only 34. But if I were to tread the boards in this particular theatre, I would have to more accurately say I were treading the MDF, for that is what we are sitting on with our lovely tables facing this delightful audience in Salisbury. However, it would be very nice indeed to... Don't clap, because I've got a head of steam up now, and you might... Damn it.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Yes.
What, a head of steam?
No. Talking to the audience.
They started it, in fairness.
They started it, and he's been talking about treading the boards, and you might tread the boards and get a spontaneous round of applause like that, and you might add lib a reply, which he did. I thought it was completely within the context of what he was talking about. And I'd give... And if you doubt it, I have given the benefit of the doubt to everyone now except Marcus. So you got it in spades this time, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
Keep the subject with the point, of course, treading the boards, 36, starting now.
I should love to play the Dane, not Hamlet, another Dane. Damn. What an idiot.
That's what happened.
What an idiot.
You lost your flow, you were interrupted, and you didn't get it back. Right, Jenny, you challenged first.
Two dames. He's very keen to be a dame.
The treading the boards, Jenny, and there are 32 seconds starting now.
I have been treading the boards for 25 years. Many different surfaces have I trod, grass, soiled carpet. That's because I've done stinking pubs and fields. I do prefer wood beneath my feet. Sometimes when I go out on stage, I can hear those boards creak and I think, oh no, Eclair, you've done it again, larded up. And then I start running round the boards, not just treading them. I'm charging, cantering, trying to lose a bit of weight as I do my act. You see, there are many things that I'm one of those women.
A challenge came in on the whistle. The whistle gets the benefit of the doubt. So, Jenny, you were speaking. You've got another point for speaking of the whistle. When you're creeping up on our leader, Paul Merton, just ahead of the OR, Marcus and Clement. And, Jenny, it's time for you to begin again.
I'll take my finger off the buzzer then.
No, you might. Yes, I think you should. Right. Yeah. You ready? Oh, the lovely subject. The Famous Five. I don't know whether you're fans of them, but tell us something about them, Jenny, starting now.
I was far too hardcore to like that kind of nonsense. It was a load of rubbish written by the much maligned English authoress Enid Blyton. I think I can remember their names. Julian, Anne, Dick, Timmy the dog, and George, who was actually a girl, but a tomboy type of ladette back in the 60s. There is some rumour I've heard, interestingly enough, that they're going to bring back the Famous Five as a cartoon on the telly, and the characters are going to be sort of my age now, in their 40s, still solving mysteries and murders, and, you know, it's always diamond heists and jewellery. Kirin Island, remember that place? They went to visit their Uncle Quentin, had lashings of ginger beer. I thought he looked very strange, that relative. I think he... Oh, I said think twice, but... Oh!
What was your challenge?
Repetition.
Of what?
I don't know, I couldn't hear it. She said I said something twice, but I couldn't hear what she said.
I'm not so, telling you.
No, I'm not asking.
I'll guess. Out of all the words in the world, what do you think I said twice?
Aubergine.
That's right, Paul.
Actually, Paul, I think within the rules of Just a Minute, unless you can tell me what you repeated...
Fair enough.
I can't accept it.
Can I get back to you once it goes out on the radio?
So, Jenny, he didn't know what you repeated.
No, I didn't. I couldn't hear it.
And you have 9 seconds still available on the Famous Five, starting now.
The great thing about the Famous Five is they triggered off gangs all around the neighbourhoods. Do you remember your mates got...
Paul, challenge.
I don't remember. Nobody formed any gangs around my neighbourhood based on the Famous Five. We saw the difference between fiction and real life.
No, I think it's quite true. The Famous Five were so popular that a lot of people did emulate them, especially youngsters, and form their own little gangs.
Yes,
and I think they did, yes, definitely.
It's true.
2 seconds, Jenny, still on the Famous Five, starting now.
We used to cut each other's hands and rub blood.
Oh, Paul challenged again.
Repetition of used.
Yes, you did say used before. So, he's at last got you on the Famous Five. And you've got 1 second, Paul. The Famous Five, starting now.
Michael Parkinson, he was one of them.
Right. Right, what is the situation? Because we're moving into the final round, actually. Oh, what a lovely audience you are. As we do, Jenny Eclair got a number of points and she's moved forward. Paul is still in the lead and he's about six or seven ahead of Jenny. Then Clement Freud and then Marcus Brigshaw. They're sort of equal in third place. Paul, it's... the points aren't so important. It's the contribution, isn't it? And so, Paul, it's your turn to begin and the subject is audience participation. A bonus point to the audience because they picked it up so quickly. And you can take that bonus point home with the audience. Paul will begin the subject with 60 seconds, of course, starting now.
Here is a marvellous opportunity for audience participation. I say to them now, the audience here, I like Just a Minute because off you go.
All right. There was hardly any verbal, it was all sort of.
Just turned into a ranting mob.
And Marcus, who challenged?
Yes, well, there was a pause between...
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Complete hesitation. Yeah. A full stop. Marcus, you have the subject. It's audience participation. 51 seconds, starting now.
I think the last time I had the subject, the audience participated without having been invited and threw me quite off what I was aiming to say. Nonetheless, I'd like to keep relations with the audience as friendly as I possibly can, and if they feel they would like to participate again, I would certainly welcome any assistance that they feel that they can offer, particularly on this subject. I've never been terribly good with hecklers. I did once see a comic dying so badly on stage that a man in the back of the room said there used to be a pool table in here, and I felt terrible for the poor lad as he suffered and drowned in his own self-piteous confusion and bafflement at what exactly had gone wrong with what turned out to be the most...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of wrong.
Yes. Yes. We have wrong. Yes. Certainly the audience were disappointed because you obviously got them in the hollow of your hand there, Marcus, but...
I'm not. I was gaining speed and running out of air.
I know. I've noticed that. You actually speed up as you go along.
Which makes it much harder.
Much harder. Much harder. But what a challenge, and you accept it as you go. Clement, 14 seconds are available. You tell us something about audience participation, starting now.
All I can tell you about audience participation is that when I am on Just a Minute, they boo. Quite often, his seldom cheer, and now and again they leave.
They've started booing, you're right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Marcus, you challenge first.
Well, yes, deviation, because Clement said they boo, but in fact they went, oh.
So, it's, what are you saying, it's deviation?
Yeah.
No, no.
I heard quite a bit of
booing. I think benefit of the doubt.
I heard two boos.
I'll tell you what I would do, as you were so obviously playing to the audience, mm-hmm. to get audience participation, and there's only half a second to go, and this is the last round, undoubtedly the benefit of the doubt goes to you, Clement, and you have half a second on audience participation starting now.
Half a second.
So let me tell you that Clement's last little flourish brought him into third place, a very good, strong third place, just ahead of Marcus, who was in fourth place, a brilliant fourth place, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
I have to say that, yes. And it's the speed in which he goes, which is almost deserves bonus points. Jenny was in second place, a number of points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week, you are our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Marcus Brigstock, and Clement Freud. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with great aplomb, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, Tulusha Galani, and we're also very grateful to this lovely audience in the Playhouse Theatre in Salisbury, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye, and please tune in the next time we play... Just a Minute!
And there are more Just a Minute shenanigans with Nicholas Parsons at the same time next week, when he's joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Lisa Tarbuck and Jack Dee.